Welcome to North Christian Church's audio blog. I'm Pastor Ed Collins, the author of this blog. This week's blog is dated October 11th, 2024, and is titled The Value of Church Family. I literally love the people in my church. And I'm not talking about the impersonal love that I'm commanded to exercise either, the one the Bible clearly states we all ought to have for others. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 reads, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be long glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Is there a real place for this impersonal love? You bet. How else are we to tolerate each other, especially those who are immature in the faith or unbelievers for that matter? They reek of the world and its filthiness. So objective love, loving someone else for who you are in Christ, is an absolute imperative, a baseline, if you will, as it pertains to others. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 reads, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Again, I'm not writing this blog to tell you how much objective, impersonal love I have for my congregation. Rather, I'm telling you that I love them subjectively, personally, for who they are. I think this is possible because my congregation is relatively mature in the faith. Sure, there are newbies, even young kids growing up in the faith, but I can confidently say that I reserve a personal affection for all of them as individuals. I suppose this is why Sunday is my favorite day of the week. It's because I get to see my church family, whom I love. After a long week of grinding it out in the world at my secular job, I get to spend some quality time fellowshipping with the people I like the most. It's a lovely experience, and I'm so grateful to God for delivering on his promises. 1 John 1:7 reads, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Matthew 18:20 reads, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Hebrews 10:24 to 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." At the risk of waxing poetic here, I can honestly say I'm my best self when I'm at church on Sundays. The Bible tells me it's because I'm around like-minded individuals who love the Lord. Our unity becomes a source of strength and love. Proverbs 27:17 reads, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." 1 Peter 3:8 reads, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." Philippians 2:1-2 reads, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind." There's just something palpable in my church on a Sunday morning. I'm spending time with the people who I will be spending all of eternity with. And with them, while still in this fleshly body, I feel supported, not condemned for my failures, which allows me to let my guard down. Galatians 6:2 reads, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So, if you are a member of my congregation, this is what I think about our precious time together on Sundays. Please allow me to echo Paul's words from so long ago. Romans 1, 8-12 reads, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I love you, my dear family, and what a privilege it is to fight the good fight with you in the trenches, shoulder to shoulder, together for the long haul. I appreciate you and am looking forward to our eternity in heaven when all the noise and the distractions of this world will be quieted. I thank God for a glimpse of that serenity, even this day, with you by my side. Thank you for being you. 2 Corinthians 13:14 reads, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this, please visit us at nccdighton.org. That's nccdighton.org. Until next time, God bless and have a wonderful day in God's matchless grace.